whoever wins the World Cup, you're just going to have an amazing time.
Not all teams can get the victory.
What sort of a position women's football holds inside the halls of power of FIFA?
I wish I could go to Australia because I know it's going to be fantastic.
The Ticket.
Reflections.
Welcome to the Ticket to the Cup Daily Podcast, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to Matilda number 171, Laura Brock. Great to have you, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
There's so much to talk about, but I just want to get this out of the way first. If you weren't a Matilda, you would have been a pro surfer.
I wish, yeah. I was just saying how much I love surfing, and it really like resets me. I try to get out as much as I can, but I have a one-year-old, so that makes it a little difficult. But yeah, we go out couple times a week, and it just resets me and makes me a better mum.
And I dare say your child is going to grow up to be a surfer too, because he experienced it in the womb.
He did, up until I was like 37 weeks pregnant, and he came at 38 something. So yeah, he's definitely going to be a surfer. He doesn't have a choice.
All right, so let's get back to football and the Matildas, the challenge that they face against Nigeria tonight. Nigeria is one of those teams we know they've been so dominant in Africa, but on a world stage now, they're starting to carve out their own space. So what can we expect from them? And then talk about what can we expect from the Matildas, who have been kind of hit by a couple of injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nigeria proved that they're here and they're ready. They're ready to play. Getting a draw against Canada was a shock to, I think, a lot of us. But look, they have so much pace up front. They have a really quick counter-attack that they can catch probably any team on. They're probably the quickest team in this competition. And they have some great handy number 10s that are super technical and will be able to break down defences. And on the flip side of that, they also have a really disciplined and strong backline that will put in tackles and win 50-50s. So it's going to be a really difficult game tonight, but I think if we stick to our game plan, which is keeping the ball, possessing it really well, getting down our flanks using our speed, and I think we're going to have to do some crafty attacking third, a little more creativity than last game. Obviously, we didn't break down Ireland, and I think that Nigerian backline will be very similar in the sense that they will get stuck in and they will make it really difficult for us. So I think we need to move the ball a bit quicker and really back ourselves and have more shots.
All right, let's have a little listen to the Nigerian press conference. At that press conference was Randy Waldrum, the American coach, and Rashidat Ajibade, who is one of the absolute superstars and will probably be one that will be marked fairly heavily tonight, I would imagine.
Going in with every determination, you know, to give in my 100% for the team and, you know, to help the team as much as I can. And, yeah, so we can get the maximum result.
From an Australian perspective, we already knew Sam Kerr was out, and it's confirmation today that the Mary Fowler and Ivy Luke as well, but Mary Fowler will join Sam Kerr on the sidelines. How does this affect your planning?
Look, we never like to see players injured, and I know how devastating that is, missing matches in the World Cup. But I don't think it really changes our tactics and what we're trying to do. They obviously still have a lot of weapons that can hurt you. I know for them they may feel somewhat of a challenge, but for us, we know the strength of their team. I know a lot of their players really well from playing back in the NWSL when I was coaching in the Pro League, and I know the quality of those players, so we can't go into the match thinking we're at some advantage for that reason. We have to stick to the game plan and the way we've been preparing for them since after the Canada match.
Yeah, we're really excited that we have Azizat back on the team, and she's a big part of our game. And and I'm also happy that I was able to make some little contributions in the Nations Cup. I think that's always the call when you're invited to the national team. It's all about bringing in your best. It's all about adding value to the team. It's all about, you know, giving in whatever it is you can do to just make sure that you're part of the success of a team. So, yeah, I'm happy she's back, and we can't wait to see what's going to unfold as the tournament proceeds.
Yeah, and I think it's just you always want your best players to be available when you can get them. So it's great having her back in the side. And, you know, it was unfortunate that we didn't have her at AFCON. But, yeah, I think that kind of sums it up. You just want all the best players available to you.
All right, before we head into the Australian press conference, I just want to ask you, Laura, about injury. You're familiar with that. You played in two World Cups. Your third would have been France 2019, but that injury demon hit you and you were watching from the stands, which must have been particularly difficult. So can you tell us what would be going through the minds of those who have not been eliminated from the squad, but who are part of the squad but can't play tonight? And of course, we're talking about Captain Sam Kerr, we're talking about Mary Fowler, we're talking about Ivy Lewick, etc., etc.
Yeah, look, obviously these girls haven't been struck with the injury that I had, which was completely ruling out my tournament. So it's a little bit different. They're, I guess, running against the clock. They want to make appearances in this tournament, but we also trust the squad and depth that we have. I say we because I still feel like I'm part of it. But the team is so deep now that across the board, players can be replaced and other players can fill those roles and step up in moments like tonight. And so thankfully we do have that depth. But I do think it's so hard being that person who's stuck on the sideline. But I know the characters of these girls and I know that within the team as a whole, the team comes first. And so I think that they wouldn't be going into today with a sad sap face on them. They'd be trying to fire up the rest of the team because ultimately they know if the rest of the girls do well, they get another chance to play later on in the tournament. So, yeah, look, I think this team is very special in the sense that we really support each other. I said we again. But there is that genuine family feel and I know that they would be supporting each other and backing each other and making sure that the other player who's taking on the role of what Sam possibly would or Ivy or Mary, they would be supporting the girls who are taking on those positions and making sure that they're putting their best foot forward and giving them that confidence.
You talk about the depth now. Is that something that Tony Gustafsson has really developed over the couple of years that he's been there? Because he said that was his biggest challenge when he came in. And I think he still gets criticised in the media a fair bit. But is that one of the things he's done?
I think partly that's a role that he's played. But I also think that it was coming. I think that our national team has been under the spotlight for quite some time now, that it's just been a waiting game of girls at younger ages taking up the sport and going through the ranks of the A-Leagues and going through the Young Matildas and all that kind of thing. And so it really was just like a time frame thing. So a lot of our, you know, the Caitlin Ford, Sam Kerr, all of us sort of started at a similar time around 2010. And there's obviously a few older girls than that. But no one really has come into the squad for a long period after that. So there was this big gap. And I think that there was a bit of backwards, the opposite of progress, with some decisions around academies and things like that and the state programs. But since then, they've now started to really push in the A-Leagues and grow the game. And so as a whole, you'll see, I think, a lot more players and a lot more depth coming through because of the groundwork that the FA has put in the grassroots level. So yeah, I think that the depth was just a matter of time of coming, and Tony has definitely exposed more players in the last few years to ensure that we do get that depth. But the players were there, you know, they were ready.
And it'll be even deeper after this World Cup because, again, a new wave, a new generation of girls will be signing up to play the game because of the inspiration. I guess, is that how you started?
Honestly, I didn't even know who the Matildas were. And I think you'll find that a lot of the girls in the team say the same thing. I was thinking about this last night that I was around 11 years old and I had a Matilda come to my school. And back then, that was really how we engaged with the Matildas. That's the first I'd even heard of the Matildas, and I still didn't quite grasp or understand it. I would then got picked in the academy site, like Queensland Academy of Sport, at 16, and I was training and playing alongside Matildas, but had no idea. So that's just the change from, how many years ago is that now? Like 15 years ago, we had no stage. And you compare that 15 years later to today, where 1.4 million people are tuning in to watch, and it's adults, it's children, it's boys, it's girls, it's the entire nation. And I think that is like so cool that we still go out to schools and engage with the young ones, but at the same time, we don't need to now. We're on the TV. Like, they can see us. They can see this is a path for them. And I love that. I love that the game is growing so much.
All right, let's take a listen to the Matildas coach, Tony Gustafsson, and the captain filling in for Sam Kerr, Steph Catley.
It was a great start to the tournament for us. There was obviously some nerves and some things that we definitely want to fine-tune going into Nigeria, but we switched our focus really quickly and we've had a great week of training. The energy's been really high and the quality's been great, so we're just really looking forward to tomorrow.
I agree with Steph. Last couple of days training has been very high energy and a buzz in the group. You can see the excitement. It took some days to recover from the Ireland game, both physically and mentally. But after that, the last couple of days has been a very high excitement and the team feels really ready for tomorrow.
High energy training and a couple of concussions. It's a real shame for the team and for the fans. Can you just take us through what's happened there and how you're dealing with some more injuries?
First and foremost, I have the biggest respect to our SSM team, our medical team, that always look at player safety first. And when it's concussion protocol, as a coach, you have to have the biggest respect to player's health. And if a player is ruled out, they're ruled out. When it comes to the training, I totally understand. If you didn't see the training, if I were you sitting out there, I would go like, what the heck is happening in trainings? You know, two concussions in one training, 2 days out of the game. But it was a complete normal training. 2 days out, you always have a high-intensity, medium-sized game. We played 8v8, high-intensity. Everything was good. We were unlucky, unfortunately, two head knocks. We don't want to go into details because we don't reveal those things that happens in training. But pure unluck. We didn't do anything different than normal, and we were a bit unlucky this time. But the session per se was very good. And once again, the players showed when that happened, the medical team took care of the players and the players took care of the game, and they just kept going and focused, and a new player stepped in that role. And there was just, you know, like this, they're on a mission. The players are on a mission and focus on what they can control. So credit to the players in yesterday's training, how they responded to it.
Tracy Holmes, ABC. I might as well get this question out of the way about Sam Kerr. I understand respect for the captain and the player, but what about also respect for the Australian people who support this team and will support this team no matter what, just to get some sort of clarity, because it's all been particularly vague. And when things are vague or grey, then rumours start to take hold. So is there any clarity at all we can have on if she's going to come back in this tournament or if she is not?
I appreciate the question. I think you're right. We want to show the tremendous amount of respect to our fans out there because they've been massive in terms of supporting us and we want to be in this together. But I also know that the fans want the best for the team, and the best for the team is to focus on the game tomorrow with the players that are available. And we've been as open as we can be to say it's a calf injury that's going to be reassessed after the Nigeria game. Me personally don't know more than that as of now. I just focus on the players that I have available for tomorrow, and I know that's how Sam wants it as well. And I'm sure that the majority of the fans out there want us to focus on the players that are available to play the game. And then we have an evaluation of Sam between the Nigeria and the Canada game. And most likely, just a heads up now in advance, that most likely we won't be able to give you an answer on that until the day before the game, because we want to wait until the last minute to see where she's at in terms of availability.
Steph, obviously there's a lot of talent on this roster, players able to step in when needed, but from a personal level, you've grown up with these women, you've known them for a long time. How does it feel when you see Sam, Mary, and Ivy go down with injuries after the tournament starts?
Yeah, obviously that's not what you want ever in a tournament, and in particular this tournament has been very exciting and a big moment for all of us as Australian players, probably the biggest moment of our careers. So it's the last thing that you want to see your teammates and your friends going through. But in saying that, it's football and it happens to every single footballer on the entire planet. We're not the first team that's had injuries in major tournaments and we won't be the last. So it's just how we gather. It's how the rest of the squad bounces back and performs in, you know, a high-pressure situation in the biggest games. And I think that's something over the last few years we've really developed. We've got a squad that is capable of winning games at any given point, no matter who's in what position. So, I back every single player that's out there, no matter what. And hopefully the girls get healthy and ready to get back into the squad very quickly.
Can you tell us about the strength of the Nigerian team or how well you know them? And for Steph, so everyone have talked about the support that the Australian fans have given to the team. And so how much of a burden has that, you know, somehow become for the team?
Yeah, it's a great question because it sums it up really, really well. Obviously, there's so much pressure coming into a moment like this
for our team. I think all of the girls have handled it incredibly well. It's probably the most pressure I've felt as an athlete in my career coming into this tournament. I think because we care so much that builds pressure, and obviously the public care so much as well. But when we were out there, the support was insane, and it definitely helped us in those final 15 to 20 minutes where things got a little bit iffy and we were under the pump. The crowd being so loud, and they were with us in all those set pieces, and we could feel the energy, and you just don't feel tired in those moments like you normally would. You just have this extra step in you, and I think, you know, that's the massive advantage of playing on home soil, and we're so grateful for the support. And as much as it did add pressure, I think it's just going to help us from here on in.
Nigeria definitely have a lot of strength, more so than weaknesses. We've been targeting the Canada game and looked at what they did there, and they showed against Olympic champions that they can compete with anyone. They're one of the fastest team in the tournament on the break and the transition. They have speed both on the left and the right side. They have a number nine position that can both post up and hit runs in behind. They have central midfielders that can turn on a dime. That's very technical. They have attacking outside back that doesn't hesitate to go forward. I'm also impressed with a short leading and a short preparation time, how they got the team together to play for each other, tactically solid as a unit, but also with individual flair and skill set. So we know we need to have an A game defensively to stop their attacking threats, but also we know we need to move the ball really, really fast, because they showed against Canada that they can play very physical if they get close into duel, and they're very, very good at that one-on-one duel game. So we need to play very fast on the ball as well.
The ticket.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the other games coming up today. It's the USA v Netherlands, which is a replay of the final from the 2019 World Cup. The USA is going through a bit of a rebuilding phase, aren't they? So they're not the same team that we're used to seeing. There are elements there that are the same, but how strong are they, and can they win this World Cup again?
Oh, no chance. No, I'm kidding. No, look, the US, it doesn't... Yes, they're in a real rebuilding phase. They are looking very different to what they have in the past. They're not this dominant powerhouse that gave no other team a chance against them. But they still have so many weapons up front. They still have a lot of those experienced players in and amongst the squad. But then you have these new fresh players who are trying to prove themselves, like Sophia Smith, who scored 2 goals in the first game. Like, they have so much quality, and like we were just talking about, depth. The US, the way they set up their college system and all the development programs and the NWSL now, like, they have depth upon depth upon depth. I think that regardless of who is in that 23, they are going to have such a strong squad and always going to be hard to beat, because they have this deep down mentality that they will win. And that is so hard to beat, that confidence.
It's confidence, yeah. Isn't it? Doesn't matter who you ask or what topic you raise, if it's an American you're asking, they can give you a fully convincing answer, even if they know very little about the topic.
It's so true. Living in America, I experience that all the time now.
And are you enjoying living in America?
Look, it's not home. Like, I love it. I love the people. I love the community I'm in. I have a great church there and great friendship group. But there's always a part of me that's going to miss being at home and with my family, and now having a one-year-old son, him not being able to be surrounded by his cousins in Australia is always going to hurt a little. But, you know, maybe we'll move back one day.
Yeah, and you can always visit. It's only a plane ride away.
It's a long plane ride, and I did that plane ride on my own with my one-year-old for 15 hours just to be at this World Cup and support these girls.
That is wonderful, and we're really glad that you're here to share some of that excitement with us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's it on today's Ticket to the Cup podcast. I'm Tracy Holmes, and that was Matilda number 171, Laura Brock. See you tomorrow.